The following presentation was recorded at Faith Builders. More information on Faith Builders events at fbep.org.
This handout that the boys are handing out is not anything very profound. I doubt if there is anything on it that you haven't thought of. Maybe the two most important things, at least in our eyes, that we want to say are not on either sheet of the handout. I think one of them we will say in the beginning, and the other at the end in reference to the last question, why are people turning from parochial to homeschooling? We will answer that question possibly last. Before we do that, in keeping really with what John had to say, I would like to encourage us in one aspect of what Jesus taught as an example. And one of my greatest, or my greatest concern with reference to the whole school scenario, Christian school scenario, between how people do it, my greatest concern is that it has split churches. It has divided families. It has ended friendships. And I would like to submit to you that if you are debating a biblical truth and arguing about it, the devil's got you. It does not matter what the debate is about. If you are debating rather than encouraging people, or if you are debating and discouraging people with reference to a Bible doctrine, what are you doing? Does that sound like something that Jesus would do? Can you imagine Jesus getting involved in a debate on how you ought to be baptized? Does that sound like something he would do? I mean, he'd get right in there and get his punches in, and I think everybody ought to do it the way I've done it. Does that sound like what he would do? Isn't that a fair question? And the list of things go on and on. Paul told the Ephesian brethren, "I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called, in all lowliness, meekness, and long-suffering." And then he gave the lesson that exemplified perfectly Jesus' life on earth. And he used that word of forbearing. He said, "Forbearing one another in love." A better word maybe in our English today would be tolerating. Now, that tolerating doesn't mean I'll tolerate the guy. You know, I guess we'll let him in the church. We'll tolerate him. But it says tolerate him in love. Where do you think this whole issue would be of how people educate their children if no matter how you educated your child, you would put your arm around your brother and you would say, "Is there any way I can help you?" Maybe they homeschool. You don't homeschool. Maybe it's the other way around. Can you send your child to a public school and still go to heaven? Is that possible? If it's possible, then maybe we ought to be encouraging the brother that is doing that. He may have a reason that you don't know. He may have a child like you don't have. That may not be for everybody. But can't we tolerate, encourage one another in love? Are you more likely to change a person's mind if they're wrong by doing that? Or do you change their mind by telling them how unbiblical that is, how inefficient they're doing it, how they're not giving the child the best opportunity that they have to learn, and split fellowship or friendship with them? Will you change his mind that way? And so the first lesson, and if you don't really get anything else out of this, I would like to encourage us to go back to the congregations where we are determined to help people do what they consider God's given direction to them. Who am I to judge another man's servant? Who am I to say God has not moved you to do that? Is that my job? Is that my position? So we'll do the first one first. What are the advantages and disadvantages of these? Now, I'm not sure it would take a long time to go through all of these. And I think I would like to start with the homeschool that went on the right column and just mention some of those. I do not claim that these are all the advantages and disadvantages that there are. I am not going to even tell you these are all right. Most of what is put on this paper, most of it, somebody could correctly say that is just your opinion, Edward, and I would say you're right. I have worked with homeschoolers. I have tutored homeschoolers. I have taught in a Christian private school. That's where I teach now. I have substituted in public school. I have a nephew who is a teacher in a public high school. I talk to him quite a bit. I have grandchildren that are homeschoolers. I have grandchildren that are in parochial schools. We have people in our fellowship that are homeschoolers. We have people in our fellowship that send them to parochial schools. We have people in our fellowship that their children have gone to public school, but I don't believe any of them are there now, right now, at least unless it's college. But I mean, when I say school, I'm referring to the first 12 grades. Now, I never went to a parochial school when I grew up. I got my college education at a very humanistic public university. I am not saying that's the way to do it. I'm just giving you my experience with it. The school where I teach now, I should tell you, the school where I have taught for the last 2 years, we cooperate with homeschoolers. We have some children come 5 days a week. They are going to our parochial school, just like they would go to your parochial school. We have homeschoolers that send their children 2 days a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, because those are the primary days when I lecture on certain subjects. Last year it was geometry and chemistry. This year it will be algebra and biology. And so there are homeschoolers. The mother and the father do not feel qualified to teach those. And so they would like to send their children 2 days so they get that much lecture, that much encouragement in those subjects. And then we have homeschoolers that send their children 1 day a week, primarily to give the mother a day off and to take part in our choir and NPE so they get some group action. We invite them on field trips. They are a part of our programs. They are a part, if they want any resources that the school has, we cooperate with them. Now, it may be, I suppose, that that would not work good in every setting. I don't know because I've only tried it in one. But I want to tell you, with reference to our setting, it works perfect. There is no problem with that program. So I know that it can work. So that's a little bit of where I'm coming from. With homeschooling, advantages. These are just typical ones that the parents bring up. No peer pressure. Maybe sibling pressure, but no peer pressure. There may be fewer requirements. That depends on the laws, and let me just dispense with what laws apply to each type of schooling. Those vary so much from state to state that I really did not intend to say too much about that. Whatever state you live in, then you have to find out what the law says. In our state, there's nobody bothers us. For all practical purposes, in the state of California, we do whatever we want to do. Now, we are supposed to go to school the same as public school, 175 days, so we go to school 175 days. We try to follow the law, but there is nobody checking up on us. The California public school system is in such bad shape as far as checking up on their own people that there's no way they're ever going to expend any energy in checking up on us. There are so many thousands of truants and delinquents out on the streets that they will never bother a homeschooler because they don't show up at school. I'm just speaking for our situation. I realize other states are different. In our local high school, of the number of children that enter ninth grade, there is less than 40% of them, there's 37% of them make it through high school. So the rest of them are on the street somewhere. So before they're ever going to bother us, they got to track down those other people. And that will never happen, I don't believe, in the state of California. I could be wrong. But that's how different laws are. We get inspection for fire safety and health. Somebody comes around once a year or something, and the county checks us. They're all very cooperative. As long as you have fire extinguishers on the wall where they want them on the wall, that kind of thing. Nobody bothers us about anything. Now, if they don't, a parochial school, you can imagine how much checking up there is on homeschoolers. There are thousands of them, and there's no way they can check up on all of those. So for all practical purposes, homeschoolers in our state are on their own. My daughter has homeschooled for 10 or 12 years, 10 years, and they register with the county and they go through all of that. But if they didn't, nothing would ever happen. So there may be fewer requirements. There's all kinds of things. You may be able to substitute hoeing weeds for PE and do all kinds of things. There's a lot of liberty and flexibility with reference to the student in home schools. The disadvantages, there's limited interaction. And we are going to talk about whether that's important or not later on the second sheet. There's less motivation to study. One of the greatest concerns, my concern, about homeschool is their accountability. I've asked them. I talk to them when I find out somebody homeschools. I say, fine. How does it go? What do you do? About this and that, and it's amazing how many mothers say, I don't know. Do you keep track of how many hours you study a day? Well, we try to. I mean, what does that tell you? Now, I'm not saying they're all that way, but the opportunity to get lax is definitely present. With reference to the teacher, they may have a mentor teacher. They may be an excellent teacher. I think my oldest daughter is an excellent teacher, not because she's my daughter, but because she's a person that likes to learn. She's organized. She keeps track of things. She would make the children learn. She sees that they learn, that they do their work, all kinds of things. She has never been a teacher per se, but I think she does an excellent job at homeschooling. But there's also the opportunity for the other kind. There is more accountability, there's more responsibility on a homeschooler. And if any of this, I think there's a discussion period sometime. If you have questions or you disagree with any of this, I freely invite you to do so. One of the advantages, curriculum-wise, totally individualized. They might use Saxon math for this and CLE math for that. They use Rebecca for something else and Bob Jones for something else. And how many Christian curricula systems are there out there?
Did you ever look at a homeschool catalog or book? There are dozens of them, if not hundreds. And so this little third grade girl, she's using one thing for math, and the fourth grade boy is using something else. Typically, homeschoolers have quite a plethora of all kinds of curriculum. Now, that looks confusing to me. That's just my opinion. It seems to me it would be more orderly and a lot easier on the mother if they'd use one kind. But that's part of the thing. You know, they're doing their own thing. And it can work very good. My daughter uses several kinds of curriculum. So you have the opportunity. You can totally individualize. Every year you can decide what this third grader is going to do and what this fourth grader is going to do in English, social studies, and you can just pick out whichever one you want. There's nobody stopping you. In fact, there's a lot of people encouraging you. One of the disadvantages of that is that the teacher may not make the best choice. They may not have complete information. Many times they ask me about it. The homeschoolers that go to our school, they give me stuff and they say, "Will you look at this and tell me what you think about it?" And they talk to me. If they knew I was opposed to homeschooling and didn't cooperate with them, would they talk to me about it? They wouldn't talk to me about it. I tell them what it looks to me, just give them my opinion, and they can do whatever else they want with it. But I've learned a lot in doing that. With reference to equipment, it's usually not available. I'm talking about a microscope. I bought my grandchildren just a cheap microscope, $35, $40 microscope. But most homeschoolers do not have good equipment, particularly in science. They may not have, I'm amazed at how many families homeschool and do not have a set of encyclopedias. And so many times, equipment and reference material is limited. I could name you one family that I suggested, I was tutoring, that I suggested that the child look these words up in a dictionary, and the mother told me they didn't have one. And so I bought them one. They didn't have a dictionary. What is a disadvantage of that is that they are usually not available. Those are switched around. But an advantage is they learn to share. And they learn to do without. They learn to make do with what they have. Isn't that a virtue? Whereas in public school, particularly where there's money available, anything they don't have, they just buy it. But there's virtue in our children learning to make do with what they have. It may be a good way to make them aware of the limitations on father's pocketbook. When they see how it maybe crimps what they could maybe do to learn. Socially, parents can respond to the student need. The parent is totally in control in homeschooling. They can do whatever they want. If they don't want the children involved in something, they're not involved in it. They're in home school. There is no pressure from the children at school for them to get involved socially in things that they would prefer that they didn't do. One of the disadvantages of that, they can hinder growth. Maybe there's some child there that needs that social interaction. And if the parent isn't sensitive to it, it gets neglected. It tends toward isolation. And again, in answering that question, why are people turning from parochial to homeschooling, we'll say more about that. It tends to make the child feel like they're different. Now, they may react to that wrongly and feel like they're different bad, or they may feel like they're different good. It can go either way, and I've seen it. Spiritually, again, the parent is in control. They need not fear that even at this church school, the child is going to be told them something biblically that they don't agree with. And there's parents are concerned about that. There's parents that are very touchy about that. One of the disadvantages, though, spiritually, is they don't get the reinforcement from others, the encouragement. They develop a holier-than-thou attitude. And that strikes at the heart of what I consider one of the greatest disadvantages of the home school, and we'll talk more about that later, is the holier-than-thou attitude. Do you realize that all you need to do that, and I know that this has happened, for example, two mothers talking, and they're talking about school, and one of them homeschools and the other one doesn't, and they're just discussing. And the mother that homeschools, all they have to do is say, well, we feel responsible for our children's education. Seemingly an innocent remark, and that's genuinely how they feel. But what is the message of that remark? If you send your children to a parochial school, you're irresponsible. If you felt responsible like we do, you would homeschool. Seemingly innocent remark. Vast implications. We feel responsible for our children's education. The last one, economics. Obviously, it's less costly as long as you don't buy all that costly equipment. So it can be expensive depending on what you do. Now, there's some homeschool families at home. There are homeschool associations. There's homeschool support groups. And some of them buy things and trade them back and forth and use them around. And so there are many ways that they can help each other that way. Just some of the obvious advantages and disadvantages of homeschool. With the parochial school, with reference to the student, there's obviously at a parochial school, there is a selected sample of peers. If a child feels lost in a 2,500 or 3,000 student high school, which would be our local public high schools, then they may feel more comfortable in a smaller crowd, in a high school group of somewhere between 5 and 50. Unfortunately, that selected sample of peers can be ruined by one bad apple. And I've had more than one parent tell me, the very thing that I wanted to escape by not sending my child to public school, they're getting involved in your school. It may be bad language. It may be any number of things. It may be bad attitude. It may be bad habits. And so that puts a lot of responsibility on us. I didn't want my child going to public school because I didn't want them to hear those words. And they come home saying them. And when I ask them where they heard them from another student. And I just want to tell you one story with a little bit of a funny twist at the end of it. That happened one time. And I, as the principal at that time, I took the boy out and talked to him. The boy that had said these words. And we talked, and he agreed that he shouldn't have said them and that he wasn't going to say them anymore. And we was about ready to part, and I said, by the way, where did you learn to use those words? And his father was a preacher. I just throw that in, because guess what he said? He said, my mother says it all the time. I said, well, maybe she does, but we're not going to say it here at school. He agreed that he wouldn't. So you never know what you're going to run into. Also, the same token, students can generate an exclusive spirit when they go to a parochial school. Maybe some of the friends, maybe some other people in their church. The churches where we're familiar with, they would not all go to the parochial school. There would be a few of them would go to a public school, and that can really cause a problem. The problem comes when you have six children that go to one school, and there's one or two go to a different school, public school, say. On Sunday, they stand around, and what do they talk about? What do children talk about when they get together on Sunday? Well, they're pretty likely to talk about what takes place at school. And these other two are left out of the conversation. And even there, though there is no overt intent to leave them out, to act like, you know, this is a tight group. That's the way it comes out. Well, a lesson there for all of us as parents or grandparents of children that go to our church schools. The teachers, hopefully they are godly and loving in a parochial school. Hopefully they have the same values as home and church. They are not going to receive two messages in their formative years. It has always marveled me that as, and I'm speaking for my experience, I don't know if this fits yours or not, as plain people we've been concerned about where brethren worked because of the environment and the influence. But in the past, we haven't been concerned about where the children went to school when they're in their formative years. It seems kind of backward. We defended public school for years. Well, we said brethren ought to be careful where they work. Well, if this brother that is an adult cannot handle the daily exposure to evil, do we think children can? So hopefully they have the same values. The qualifications academically for a teacher in the parochial schools, I think, is a huge problem everywhere that I go, and I talk to a lot of people, a lot of teachers. They feel inadequate, grossly so, in most cases, for the task before them. They lack training. There are all kinds of things to learn. We can all learn. And I would just caution us, this is my opinion, I guess, but in the beginning of the homeschool movement, for instance, and in the beginning of the individualized, particularly, even in the open classroom Christian schools, there was the attitude that anybody can teach school. I could name one man that publicly I heard him say, "You don't know chemistry? I just learn it with your child." Well, friend, as nice as that sounds, that is not the way it works. I have yet to talk to a parent that tried it and it worked. Now, an entry-level thing like learning to read, and I'm not saying learning to read is not an important task for a teacher in a parochial school. I think it is one of the most important teachers in the school. But an entry-level type thing like that, some mothers make excellent learning to read teachers. But they may not, just like that, make excellent algebra teachers. Equipment, again. Oh, the curriculum. There is an amazing amount of Christian and high-quality curriculum. I am totally convinced that you could take virtually any curriculum. I don't care if it's Rod and Staff, CLE, Bob Jones, Abeka, ACE, BCE, on and on. I think any of those, a competent teacher could take those and have a very successful Christian school. The secret to what kind of school you have is not in the curriculum you're using. It is true, particularly in high school, it can be limited in some specialized fields. If you want them to get into some nursing, calculus, I think Abeka has a pre-calculus book. But it may be more limited if you get into some of the specialized things. But in general, there is excellent Christian curricula out there. Equipment. Make maximum use of our resources. I think Christian schools do that. We make the most with what we use of what we have. That's a virtue. It's a good thing to do. The disadvantages are, like homeschool, it's somewhat limited. We must learn to make do. The social aspect, the parent and the church can control it. In the parochial school, we can have more flexibility, just response to funerals, conferences, all kinds of things. You can let school out. It is even valid, really, perfectly legal in our state if you let school out for a funeral, and you could call it a field trip if you wanted. And maybe have the children do something with it. It'd be perfectly legal. Not have that flexibility in a public school. Socially, though, we can fall into some of the same traps as the public school, and I'd like to caution us on that. When children start putting the pressure on parents to go be doing things that the boys at school or the girls at school are doing, the parent feels pressured into letting them do things, maybe even spend money. Young folks want to do, when the parent becomes pressured to do that, then they have lost one of the advantages of having your church school. And we need to think about that, discuss it, maybe talk to the parents, do whatever, but we need to be aware that we can fall into some of the same problems as the public school has. Spiritually, there's maximum opportunity for youth. I think that is one of the greatest thrills of our parochial schools. There's maximum opportunity for spiritual growth. There are so many things that they can be encouraged to do, that they can learn to do, that they can learn to react to. Visiting old people, encouraging each other, working together as a group, on and on and on. There is no limit to the opportunity that we have in our church schools to promote spiritual growth. That becomes a problem if a home has unique goals. There may be a conflict. One of the greatest fears that I have concerning our schools, and this would be partly because of my experience, because our schools are not run by our churches, is that they replace the church as the focus in the child's life. Now, that may not be true in your case. The teacher becomes a greater influence on the child's life than the ministry does. I'm not sure that's good. But we're there more often. We're talking to them more often. We're responding to their problems more often. They feel more comfortable with us because they're with me every day. A third or fourth grader at school, he sees me at church. He sees me all during the day. He has no qualms at all about walking up and talking to me about anything. Most of them, there would be maybe some reluctance there to expose that kind of, demonstrate that kind of familiarity with their minister. So there's a danger that the school will replace the church as the main focus of the child's life. There's ways that we need to guard against that as teachers. Anytime I get the opportunity in school, if it's a lesson, whatever, I say, why don't you write a letter to your bishop or minister or talk to them this Sunday or call them on the phone. And anytime I get an opportunity, I encourage them to contact one of the ministers in their congregation, hopefully to deflect some of that focus. Economics, hopefully it's a faithful use of funds. There's no misuse of funds. It's a very economical use of funds. There's a lot of people donating time and doing things. It is also very expensive for tuition and transportation. There's some danger involved. There's a lot of things involved as a major, I believe, disadvantage of the parochial schools. Some families cannot afford it. And I would hope that all of our schools has a policy that no family needs to not go to the school because of money. That would be, I would think, a vital ingredient of all school policies. I want to read you from a couple excerpts here from the Homeschool Digest, the spring of 1993, this spring. This is from an article that was written by the Reverend Peter Marshall, who is the son of the Peter Marshall that you hear about. And the article of it, The Future of Homeschooling in America. We are in a situation now where we are in total cultural war, a battle for the soul of this nation, and there's going to be a winner and a loser. If we Christians lose, it's all over for America. Now, I skip some. There is no question that we are living in a post-Christian era. It surprised me that he said that. There is no question that we are living in a post-Christian era. He's saying Christianity, as we have traditionally known it in America, is all over. We have lost our basic moral and spiritual foundations. That's the world that our children face, is the reason that I read that. They do not face the same world that we face. Reverend Marshall credits homeschoolers with taking responsibility for their children's education, which he says the Bible mandates we should do the responsibility. By homeschooling, children receive much more emphasis on character building as a basic part of their education. They are working it out with the parent in the context of relationships in the family. From that point of view, education is character-based to a much greater degree than in the public school. Now, he's comparing here homeschooling to public school. My question to you is, and I don't know how many homeschoolers or if there are any out here, is that true of our parochial schools? Is there more character building going on in a homeschool situation than there is in our church schools? Marshall agrees that with homeschooling, the quality of education is infinitely better, which is proved out on test scores in terms of weaknesses. He says, one thing that homeschool parents need to watch out for. Well, I want to stop there. Marshall agrees that with homeschooling, the quality of education is infinitely better, which is proved out on test scores in terms of weaknesses. Now, I don't know what evidence he has. I would question that statement. Just because, isn't it true that a parent that is interested enough in their children to homeschool them, they're the kind of person that is interested in education, they're the kind of person that is organized, they're concerned about their children, they're very ready to take on their responsibility as a parent. If you took all of those kind of parents that homeschooled, are you getting a fair sampling of the children? You see what I'm saying? The homeschoolers are very likely working with an elite. And that's why, as church schools, just because we test out high on a CAT or an Iowa test, to me, doesn't mean one thing. We should. If we don't, we ought to take a look at what we're doing. As far as giving us any room to crow, I think it's meaningless. I'm not saying that we shouldn't take those tests, but it doesn't mean what we might think that it means. Now, in this last part, he touches at the last thing that I want to talk about. So I'm going to hold that, and let's look at the second sheet. I want to go through that quickly. Who should decide where students go? Well, again, this is my opinion. I think the parents, until they're in the sixth grade, and that may depend some on the exact child, but around there, I'm just drew the line there, the parents should decide. I don't think the child, most children at that age, are capable of understanding the issues enough and knowing whether they ought to homeschool or go to parochial school, or maybe, in rare cases, even go to public school. After the sixth grade, I think that the parent ought to do it by consulting the student. There ought to be an agreement there. There's no use trying to homeschool a child that is in the seventh grade or eighth grade when they don't want to be there. They want to be at school with their peers. You're going to run into problems. You're going to run into snags, and it needs to be resolved. And so if you're going to do that, this eighth grader, let's say, he would rather be in the church school down the road, but you want him to homeschool. The only way I believe you're going to successfully homeschool is to get him to agree to it. Johnny, for this one more year, and then we'll look at it again, your father and I talked about it, or your mother and I, and we would appreciate it if you would homeschool one more year. If you would cooperate with us and agree to do that, we will take a look at it at the end of another year, and we want to consider your feelings and your opinion in the matter. But if you refuse to cooperate, then we'll have to talk about it some more and do some other things. But we're asking you to do that. And I think if there's been a relationship built up, they would respond to that. They would honor that. Whatever. But the student needs to be a part of the decision as they get older, or you'll run into more and more troubles. We've ran into that in our parochial schools when the child did not want to leave public school. And the parent dumped the problem on us. The child said, I don't want to be here. I'm here because my dad told me I had to be. I've had more than one of them tell me that. Well, you got a problem on your hands. A real problem. And the child, when they get, I think, in that age level, they need to be a part of the decision. At either stage, the success is contingent on the sensitivity of the parents to the child's interests, physical maturity, spiritual maturity, natural abilities. And we don't want to discuss those. There's all kinds of things go into that. You think about them. Some considerations are some children need to have sociability throttled and others need to have it developed. A parent needs to consider that. Some children need to have a servant's heart developed, and others just need to have it directed and encouraged. I'm amazed in our Christian schools how many children there are that show maturity in many of these ways. But a child, naturally, if they have not learned that at home, a child is naturally selfish. And so, maybe if they need to learn how to serve others, you might do that at home. You also might do that more effectively in a school setting. Some children need to learn to play ball and cooperate, and others need to learn to work. And it may depend. The combination of that and the opportunities that there are at home as to where you would send them. Some need to learn to follow rules and work with others, and some do these naturally. You can make a long list there. I'm not saying at all that is exclusive, but there are things that ought to be considered with each child if the issue is up. In what ways can these be combined? Before we hit that last issue, we want to just mention those at different age levels. You might want to homeschool, and there's parents doing that. We have some parents in our congregation. They know that as the children are getting older, they're thinking about what they're going to do with them. They're homeschooling right now while they're young, while the mother and the father can understand all the things that the children are doing. I have no problem at all with that. I have no problem with any of it, for that matter. They may want to go to parochial school then. They will want to in their later years. They may want to go to a college, depending on what they want to take. If you want to be a nurse in our area, well, you can go to the local college on a nursing program. There's no Christian school there to learn how to be a nurse. You may want to split it up if you want to use combinations for different subjects, like I mentioned. You may want to homeschool 3 days. You may want to send them to the local parochial school if that opportunity is there for 2 days. Number three, to respond to location and availability. In mission fields, there may not be much option but to homeschool or do nothing. There may be locations other than that where there's no church available, church school. There may be isolated areas, even where the church school's available, but it is not practical. There's even correspondence. And many, many children have taken correspondence. Some of them use correspondence in conjunction with homeschooling. You know something? Anything will work if you all want to work together and make it work. Nothing will work if there's somebody involved in it that doesn't want to make it work. It's as simple as that. There are as many combinations of things that will work if everybody is tolerating one another in love and making it work. That is the key. The key is not the system. The key is the people that are running the system. Now, for the last part of this, and we're almost through here, one thing that homeschool parents need to watch out for is the tendency, and I'm answering the last question now, why are people turning from parochial to homeschooling? One thing that homeschooling parents need to watch out for is the tendency to unconsciously, if not consciously, communicate to their kids an anti-establishment attitude. Part of the danger of the homeschool movement is that it tends to breed a ghetto mentality, like the persecuted few. Although there is some truth to that, in the sense that a lot of state boards of education and other education establishment folks are down on homeschoolers, it is still an attitude of heart that we need to be aware of. Because coupled with a persecution attitude comes a self-righteousness, implying that we're right and these other people are wrong. I think it is equally important, an equally important danger for homeschooled people to honestly face up to and deal with. Why are they changing? Why are people turning from parochial to homeschooling? And the homeschooling movement, as far as I know, is still mushrooming. I want to give you two basic reasons, and I think even more important or just as important as the first thing that we mentioned, that in our families, in our fellowships, in our congregations, we need to get along with however people are schooling their children. And we haven't talked much about public school, and we're not going to because of time. But just as important is this concept that I'm going to tell you now, discuss with you. And you tell me whether this is right or wrong. Ask questions about it later. There won't be time now, but I would welcome any comments about this. Number one of the reasons that they are is because of the character of parochial schools. Parochial schools have not been flexible enough. They see the same unapproachability as they do in the public school. We're right and you're wrong. We have not cooperated with homeschoolers. We have not opened our doors and let them in our choir and take part in our programs. Send them for one day or 2 days a week if you want to in the afternoon when we have PE, and let them have PE with us. So we've fallen into that same trap as the public schools of exclusiveness. We're not going to cooperate. You either do it our way or you do it your way. And that has turned a lot of homeschool people off. I would rather send my child to the public school than I would to your parochial school. I've heard them say it. And the fault, I'm not saying that is a right attitude for them to have, but it has been generated by the stance, the character of the parochial school. B, parochial schools under the same, the character of the parochial school, there's two things, the lack of flexibility and consideration, and the other thing is parochial schools have not provided premier academic opportunity. And I'm hitting there primarily at the teacher until parochial school boards wake up to the idea that teachers need to be learners. We're going to be buried in this dilemma of not having properly staffed schools. Until school boards take the initiative in seeing that teachers become keep up in their subjects, take more training, do all of these things, even public school, you realize that not everything that public school does is wrong. And they require, in our area at least, that a teacher in every 2 or 3 year period has to take so many credits. How far would a dairy farmer get in your area if he quit reading anything about dairy farming? I'm not going to read any journals. I don't have time. If he did not keep growing with the times, he would lose out. We will do that. Does not a teacher in our parochial schools need to keep a pace with the times? There are things that we all need to know. There's things that I need to know. There's things that I could use that would make me a better teacher. And until the boards, the school boards, or whoever is in control, the church of these schools, takes the initiative in doing that, we as teachers will not do it. And parents see that, and they question the integrity of the teaching. Now, the second reason, so that all has to do with the character of the parochial school. The other reason is why people are deserting parochial schools and going to homeschooling is because the character of Christian parents, particularly those that are interested in homeschooling. There is an evangelical atmosphere in general. And what I mean by that, and the way that applies to a homeschool parent, is there is a suspicion of anything that is church establishment. Now, I know those are hard words, and I'm not saying that is universally true, but I would go for 70 or 80% because I have talked to a lot of them. I've had ministers say, this couple in my church decided to homeschool, and they didn't say anything to me. They never asked me what I thought. You know why they didn't ask what he thought? Anybody. What? They knew what he thought, and they didn't like it, so they're not going to talk to him. Had he ever encouraged them? Now, even if they didn't know, in their mind, they knew. And so, putting it very coldly, they didn't care what he thought. And so, if you don't care what somebody thinks, you're not going to ask them what they think. And that whole thing, homeschool parents are doing their own thing. They are independent people, and I do not say that sarcastically. I do not even necessarily say it negatively. Most of them are doing an excellent job. Many of them, maybe I should say. But they are an independent bunch. I can see that in my daughter and in my son-in-law. They talk to me, and we discuss it more all the time. But when the final analysis comes, and I think probably that's the way it ought to be, in the final analysis, they're going to do with their children whatever they perceive is the best thing to do. Is there anything wrong with that? No. You know what? I'm going to give them my blessing. They ask me things, and I say, you know, I'll tell you, but I'm not going to tell you if you feel bound to do it. Then there's no use asking. I might as well tell you. You see what I'm saying? I'll tell you my opinion, how I see it, but you do whatever you feel like the Lord's called you to do, and God be with you. Can I help you? The homeschool parents that come to our school, that send their children to our school, I talk to many of them, talk to all of them every week, some of them every day. And there is an attitude there of even church-wise, it carries over church-wise. They're going to do their own thing. This is what we believe, and this is what God has called us to believe. And just because somebody else believes something else is not going to change their mind. There is an independence there. Now, I don't know how we can change that, or if we even want to. But the core of that whole thing has developed in talking to them. The core of that whole thing is developed because they do not perceive the church, the congregation, is fulfilling the needs and the calling that they perceive that they have from God. And therefore, they don't turn there for help. They turn somewhere else. I don't know if I've made all that clear. I hope that all doesn't sound too negative, but I know that that core thing is there. And until we, as homeschool, as parochial school teachers, as ministers, and everything, as we understand that, until we understand that, and we work at breaking that down and reviving that communication, this thing is going to continue. It may after that, but it will continue in a different vein. It can continue in one of cooperation, in one of Christian love. Does the Bible say, thou shalt not homeschool? Does anybody know a verse that even comes close to that? That you could even twist it a little bit and make it say that? Anybody? Is there one that says, thou shalt parochial school your children? Is there any verse in the Bible that you know of that we, you could even twist that it would say that? No. I don't think we do. Galatians 4:2 comes close to it, but that kind of gives you a mix. The child is under tutors and governors. Well, that sounds like parochial school. Except if you understand the setting it was in, it all took place at home. So what does that verse tell you? That you ought to homeschool or parochial school? It doesn't. That's not what it's about. It does say, though, that the parent is responsible, doesn't it? So we shouldn't get on this thing, there's a right way to do it. We need to, in love, tolerate one another and encourage one another. And I think if we do that, we won't need to worry about, really, whether we're homeschooling, parochial schooling, or maybe in rare occasions, sending a child to public school. One last thing, CLE Lightlines, Volume 1, Number 4, is on why a Christian education. And it gives reasons there why a Christian education. It's a little flyer that they put out, which I think is a very good flyer. If any of you were interested in that, I'm sure you can get that from CLE. It's Volume 1, Number 4. Thank you. The Lord be with you.
For the most current Faith Builders recordings, visit ChristianLearning.org. And for more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit the DocForLearning.org.